This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Denise, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are without Dave for a little bit. He is over in Silverton, I believe, talking about rocks in his head. Again with the rocks in his head.
He's got rocks in his head.
Every week I come in and the guy's got rocks in his head. But no worries. He'll be back later on in the show. For today, we have a very special guest. And I'm delighted that the one and only Faye DeMeyer is back behind the KYKN microphone to join us today for a very important conversation about homelessness, possible solutions, ideas, talking about it. What can we do? Welcome to the program, Faye DeMeyer. It is so good to have you.
And Denise, this was awesome. We got to meet up again at the CASA event.
Yes.
Which is a fantastic
event.
Yes,
it is.
And you mentioned, hey, we want to do a show, and we came up with today. It was perfect.
Perfect.
Because today in Salem, Oregon, the ordinance for literally ending encampment on the sidewalk is being enforced downtown. And if you're out there, I should hear, if we have an applause machine, this would be a good time for it, right? But it's phenomenal. It's the best thing that the city councilors have done for this city, for businesses, for a really long time.
So there are going to be other people that say this is horrible. I mean, I've seen two sides of this equation. You've got some people saying that this is absolutely atrocious, that this is happening. Other side, you're saying businesses, you know, the citizens of Salem who have seen this, this has been getting worse. The situation has been getting worse, not better. I spent Thanksgiving in Olympia. Olympia is becoming infamous for how badly they have been dealing with the situation up in their city. I have many family in there who simply will not go into downtown Olympia. They don't feel safe. They used to, you know, many of them work at the Capitol, and they used to run around the Capitol, and they don't.
Capital.
It's beautiful. Yeah. The campus up there is beautiful. No one will go there. Before we left, we drove around and I took some video of the encampments. It's atrocious.
It's horrible.
It is.
We have an underlying problem, I think, Denise, and that is that houselessness has been created by a socialist-minded group, fostering this belief that some people just can't work, some people just can't function as self-sufficient people, right? And due to their trauma, their addiction, their poverty, maybe lower education, whatever the thing is, and it's planted a seed, Denise. Mm-hmm. It's planted a seed of entitlement, and what it does is it fosters a lack of internal motivation for people. And so they actually believe that luck, chance, fate, and powerful others control them, so they let it happen. And what you saw today with removal off the street is another example. If you don't even control your houselessness, you're going to lose your houselessness. Does that make sense?
It does.
It may sound mean, but the reality is we weren't doing them any favors.
No.
We were actually feeding them to death down there like animals on, like ducks on a pond. Remember down at OSP?
Yes.
And all the ducks got fed and they would go across the street and they'd end up getting killed by the cars.
Right.
They had to stop it. Well, this is a similar thing, only we have literally messed with the design of humanity by treating them like animals.
Or children, infants.
Or children, or infants, absolutely. So we are literally fostering a notion that violates the design of humanity. And what do I mean when I say the design of humanity? It's like people were designed to work 6 days a week, Denise. Six, not five, not even four tens. 6 days a week. What we know about humanity is when they have nothing to do, they literally have problems. They lack self-esteem, self-worth, purpose, and they're designed for something good. The people that are down there are not fulfilling their God-given design.
So what do you say then? You've got local municipal governments that you've got a certain section that are saying it's compassionate. It's giving people their dignity to let them live in squalor and filth on a street sidewalk?
My response to that is it makes the people who do these benevolent things feel good, then they don't have to have relationships with them. And it's easier for them. I've been homeless, Denise. I lived in a car. And when people hand you something that you could otherwise do for yourself, the feeling of pathetic and learned helplessness is over the top. The reason I work three jobs today is so that I will not be homeless. And in order to not be homeless, you must work.
Yes.
And so I asked a guy today when I was getting gas, I said, so did you hear they're breaking up the encampment? I was actually up in Aurora. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, he goes, my wife lives over at, in West Wallace Marine Park. They gave her an apartment and she shirked it off to be homeless. Now, I'm telling you right now, when you shirk off help to go be homeless, people need to stop working harder on their lives than they are, because that's what's happening.
So how do, there seems to be, homeless gets sort of lumped into this big, gigantic, amorphous blob of, you know, what does that actually mean? Let's talk about that. You said you grew up homeless. Mm-hmm. I grew up very, very poor. Mm-hmm. The child of a starving artist, literally. Mm-hmm. And my mother worked three jobs to keep us in our home. But there, but for the grace of God, could have been I as well. There were times when I did not have water in my house. So I understand coming from a poverty background, pulling yourself up and doing whatever you can to empower yourself. So I bristle when I see city councilors almost patting people on the head as if, oh, they're just not. It's the sort of the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Yeah.
We'll take care of you. We know better. You just simply can't do that. I call BS on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do that, so you said, what's the difference between the truly homeless and the choice of homeless?
The choice, because it is a choice.
It is
for
a
many.
Choice. For many, it is a choice. I think and many of you out there in the community have attempted to assist somebody and they didn't want your help. Mm-hmm. Here's the first thing you ask somebody. Do you want help? Stop just helping them. Stop it, you guys. You're not helping. Anybody in counseling, addiction treatment, know that you just don't go throw yourself at somebody. Mm-hmm. You ask them, do you want help? Do you want feedback about this situation that you're in? If they say no, leave them alone, but do not contribute to their problem. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the truly, I want to be homeless. The ones who are homeless, maybe they lost their jobs through a sense of divorce. I hear that a lot
on
the streets and stuff. And I was in that spot 4 years ago, Denise. Mm-hmm. I was 61 years old. Husband just walked out. I mean, I get it. It was scary.
It's
I'm
terrifying.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
You don't have first and last. You have to sell the house because of the divorce. You have to split everything. Mm-hmm. It's frightening. But you know what I did? I went to work. Mm-hmm. I packed it up. I got it done. And here I am, literally, this Saturday I'm getting married after 4 years. You didn't even know that.
I did not
know
that.
It's awesome.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And the joy of the whole thing is it's not going to be easy, even now. My husband today at 2 o'clock, my soon-to-be husband's going in for a CAT scan. What, do we give up? No.
No.
You just keep going. See, we are not fostering overcomers. We're fostering entitlement-ridden victims. As long as we do that, we're going to get what we practice.
And then you have to wonder, the same people that are fostering that entitlement don't seem to understand why the problem isn't getting better.
Because they don't see it as entitlement because it makes them feel better. Make sense?
I guess you need a change of leadership at that point, because somebody with that mindset isn't going to change.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if we're looking at what we're seeing on the streets of Salem, Portland, Olympia, San Francisco, it's a leadership issue. It's a policy issue at that point.
Yeah. And some would say, well, Denise, Faye, you're both white women. You've lived privilege. And I will tell you, I will stand toe to toe with the majority of people of color in this city and say to you, I could match your story. Okay. And here's the story. We're not going there. We're not even going to allow the lies of race divide, the lies of financial, economic divide, education divide. I came into the foster care system completely illiterate.
Wow. Okay? How old were you when you came into the system?
I came into the system at 10.
Wow.
Completely illiterate. Okay. It wasn't until I was nearly 13 that they found out I was illiterate, because I could speak. Yeah. I had learned street smarts. Mm-hmm. And the report card said, nice kid, but doesn't apply yourself. Academia wasn't part of what you do in a car, right?
No.
But today I'm sitting before you, all but dissertation and a doctorate degree, practicing life and willing to help other people with all these other things on my plate. So it's not, we're not that mad we're against homeless or houseless people.
Right.
What we are against is the lie that's being perpetuated by the victim stance. That's what we're against.
Right.
We're not against the people.
Of course not.
We're the first one to raise a hand up to help. In fact, if you look at all charity, the conservative parties, whether it be independents or Republican, give more to charities than any other party.
Mm-hmm. And that's a fact.
That is a total fact. Mm-hmm. But facts are kind of ignored in our culture. People want the emotional appeal. And you asked earlier, why? Why are they doing that if they know better?
Or do they? I mean, I don't know.
Well, they won't listen to fact. That's why. The why is they want the emotional appeal to logic. They want to hear what their itching ears want to hear and not the truth. That's the why.
And it's unfortunate because we can't even get into a really substantive discussion about looking at solutions because there's so much emotion wrapping around it. And many, many people are afraid to speak up who may have similar life experiences, mm-hmm. who may share similar opinions, but you get shouted down as someone who doesn't care, who right. hates the homeless, who has no compassion. When it's usually entirely the opposite. It's being projected on you.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think there's any compassion in saying you're offering people to sleep on the streets in their own filth. That's not compassion.
That's not compassion.
And that's not dignity. And that's not what we should be aspiring to do.
But it is easier.
It's much easier. It's easier to sit on high.
It is.
And to virtue signal, for lack of yeah. a better term, because mm-hmm. that's what it is.
That's right.
And to scream and yell at people who are just trying to have a discussion and trying to look at maybe creative, innovative solutions mm-hmm. that may make the problem. I think we'll always have poverty and poor
that's right.
people.
We
but
will.
We can at least lessen it. And now what you're having is... I think we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, because I want to talk about what I'm seeing as well and what I'm seeing mm-hmm. on online social media forums, what I'm seeing mm-hmm. in Olympia, and it is a growing contempt for the homeless.
And Denise, I think we have an answer. I think we have an answer right here in Salem, Oregon.
And that scares me because these are vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. And when you've got the other side of the population who does not feel heard, mm-hmm. who sees the mess that's being made mm-hmm. and is frustrated, that reaches a boiling point. And I'm very concerned about what could happen. So we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, everybody, to Wednesdays with Denise on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. We are talking today with Faye DeMeyer. We're talking about homelessness, kind of where we are. Let's take the temperature of Salem, where we are right now. Before we went on the break, we were talking mm-hmm. about the real danger of contempt.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing what is classically known by John Gottman as, and I learned this from Dave Manick, Dr. Manick here in town, the four horsemen of a relationship devolving. And one is contempt, mm-hmm. this idea that whatever somebody else does, you're like, the disgust
yes.
is there.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is criticism. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. The other one is defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And again, we're seeing that people can't listen to one another.
Yeah.
And then the last one is this notion of stonewalling, mm-hmm. this inability to move. And this is where we're having a problem
yeah.
right now, because
yeah.
we've got property here in Salem, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
We have property out at Hillcrest that could be used for this population.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this wonderful man, one of our pastors here in town, he wrote me this text today, and he said, Faye, even if you had that property, I don't know if people will use it because some people just want to be homeless. They
right.
don't want to take advantage
right.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to you, the answer to that is, then if you want services, you use it. If you don't, then we're not giving you services. It's that simple. When you bring to people and do for them what they could do for themselves, you retard them. Not a derogatory term,
right, no,
but you hold them back.
You think about that. You talk about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that in the parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you do everything for your child,
yep.
your child is incompetent and has no self-esteem, cannot do for themselves. You actually damage the child by doing that.
That's right.
The same thing with any human interaction, human relationships. It's the same thing.
That's right.
And it doesn't help people. It makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
It's not about you feeling better.
It's short-term. Hear what it is. Short-term, you alleviate the pain,
right.
long-term pain. But if you take...
Your own,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And others. So if I do for you what you could do for yourself, in the short run, it'll make me feel better. But our relationship won't get better,
right.
and you won't get better.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
That's what we're doing with other people right
mm-hmm.
now. Our citizenry already paid for a building here
mm-hmm.
in town. It has 207,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It has the capacity for 480 actual beds.
Wow.
Tent capacity for over 150 tents on the outside. It is literally, we put a letter of intent for $2.1 million on the 18th of November.
Mm-hmm.
No response except to say we're doubling the price, according to the state. So we recently, I'm not kidding, to
wow.
4.1. And I'm telling you right now, this is where the stonewalling comes in. In the relationship of the bigger picture of this culture, we have got to see that we must have a forward-thinking view mm-hmm. of how people are going to be treated. Let's just say somebody is I don't want to use this term, completely mentally ill. They're high on drugs. They're literally like they are downtown. My friend, a dentist here in town, moved his practice. He was threatened with a machete wanting someone to get off of his stoop so he could let his
patients in.
So he could hose off the poop.
Ugh.
And then let his patients in, and the guy pulls out a machete. He left town. The business right next to him left 2 months before him. So listen to every one of you who are bleeding hearts or whatever. I don't care what you want to call yourselves. But if you think helping people do for them what they could do for themselves is helpful, I'm telling you right now, if you stop the businesses in Salem and you stop the employees to work at those businesses, your tax dollars will not help them where they can be helped. And you are literally disabling not just the person, but the entire system. You are actually as if you're taking a blockage dam up by the Salmon River and you're saying, we don't want the ecosystem of salmon, only you're doing it to people. And you need to stop. You need to start thinking about what it is that humanity needs. We are designed to work and to earn and to be people who call each other up to our highest and not to our lowest. Mm-hmm. Denise, if you were flubbing up or if I were flubbing up, I'd want you to call me and care enough about me to say, Faye, I'm worried about you. You're flubbing up. You used to be, you know, helping people and now you're hurting people. Stop it. I want you to do that because you love me and you care about me. I might be mad at you right at first. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. You might be mad at me right at first. Yeah. But who will you respect? The one who was honest with you. And certainly, I always say to somebody, do you want feedback? And if they don't, this is the analogy. It's like throwing pearls to pigs. Pigs don't look good in pearls, and pearls don't look good in mud, okay? And that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
People aren't pigs. That's not what I'm implying.
Right.
But your precious gifts can be given to somebody who wants that help. You have, every one of you sitting out there have a design. You are made for something. What is it? For me, I know what my design is. It's actually planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, since this event has happened through HopeCrest to try to raise it up as a place for help and healing, co-located services and everything, people have come for, nurse practitioners has come forward and said, we'll do the mental health for free. Mattress Firm says, we'll give you the beds. I just had a vet say, I will come and do suicide prevention training for any vet on site. I mean, it just keeps rolling in. The positivity is just fantastic. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and something, what I'm hearing, because I know you testified at Salem City Council about this, and I don't know, I watched the evening, you were one of the few voices that actually was offering some kind of concrete solutions.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people telling stories, and there are awful, terrible, heart-wrenching stories that are out there.
They are.
My hope would be that those individuals who were sharing those stories would avail themselves to these services. What you're describing, though, with these people coming on board, that builds momentum.
Yes.
That builds... that builds, what's the word I'm looking for? Hope?
Yeah, I know,
that
crazy there, hope.
That maybe I can expend, because it does, sometimes it seems futile if you're throwing help at people who don't want it. Mm-hmm. After a while, you stop. Mm-hmm. You just stop
disengage. That's right.
This to me seems like something where people could actively engage and then see tangible results from it.
The first 100 people who volunteered to live at HopeCrest, we've already talked to most of them. We talked to about 15 to 30 of them so far who want to be there. They will be trained then to be the helpers of the rest. It's not going to be a city run by the government.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a city run by the state or by the county or by the city. Why? Because we have evidence, empirical evidence. If I'm a freaking scientist, I know they don't know how to do this.
Right.
I know it.
Well, I know. I can, one thing off the bat that I think of is Women at the Well Grace House as a model.
Oh, fantastic.
And I've been involved
place.
With them in years past, and they have a 98% success rate of people turning their lives around and then being fully empowered to go become productive members of society.
Working
but they
and
have
earning.
Rules.
They do have rules.
They have strict rules that people need to go in there. They are also faith-based. You get to know Jesus when you're there if
That's
you didn't
right.
know him before, but their success rate is so high. And then they're based on a model, and I can't off the top of my head think of it. And it sounds very much like what HopeCrest is and what you're wanting to do. You are going to have rules as well.
Yes, we will.
And what I see a lot of people balking at is this, we can't make them follow rules. Well, why not?
You're making the citizenry that are paying the subsidy to keep these people being fed and treated like animals, you're making them do rules. You make them pay taxes. You make them follow the highway laws. You make them follow the land laws and all that. There's no way I could go and just park myself right in the middle of the Marion Street Bridge and say, you know what? I think I'm going to sing and dance here for about, oh, I don't know, 22, 30, maybe 40 days. You guys work around me. There's no way. You'd put me in a nut hut, right? Well, guess what? Guess what you're doing? You're allowing people to do the same thing on your city parks.
And then calling it compassion.
Calling it compassion.
Which is just baffling.
Yeah, it is baffling. Well, here's another example, and that is my friend who literally was jogging with his family, and they went in to go to the bathroom, and while they were in the bathroom changing their baby, somebody stole their baby cart.
The carriage.
I mean, these are, what, $200, $300, $400
some of them. Oh, some of them are upwards of
$1,000.
And they
have two kids, yeah. So it's a two-seater, so it's a big one, right? And this guy is not making more than $3,000 a month on a whole family of four. That you can't afford a $400 something right now. They don't have any idea. The person they just stole some may have just got diagnosed with cancer, or yeah. They just lost their spouse. They have no idea. And we've got to be the ones educating them. I did this inside the institution. This was my job. I reduced recidivism rate by 5 points in a 9-year period of
wow.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Every point is a $4 million savings. How did I do it? 375 volunteers walked into those gates every single 6 months, and we turned people around. It was an institution of release. Mm-hmm. That's what it was about. We taught them. We taught them compassion, mm-hmm. victim empathy. We taught them how to work. We taught them how to interview. We taught them about relationships, what it's going to take, and about grief.
Mm-hmm.
99% of these people could get off the streets if they could do one of two things, Denise.
What's that?
Forgive themselves and forgive other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, they'd stop drinking. They'd start working. They'd start having value. They have self-loathing.
Right.
Now, if I go hand you stuff and make you continue to
yes.
believe you can't do it, your self-loathing's only going to increase.
It's piling on.
Stop it, you guys. Stop doing that. You're building these people into nothingness. You're just piling. It's almost like putting weight on
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
It's putting more weight on them. You think that it's more weight to make them go to work? No, that will raise them up. See, the one thing that saved me is I was a migrant worker,
mm-hmm.
and I had learned an industry, and it's called work.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, I'm going to talk to you guys about something. It's a four-letter word, and I'm sorry we're on radio, but it's work. The four-letter word is work.
Yeah.
And when you work, good things happen.
Yeah, and I think most people innately know that. I mean, everybody innately
knows. We're designed
knows that.
For
the
it.
The idle hands. I mean, you just—it's not—it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
We are designed for
and
it.
And it's not a moral, a religious moral compass.
No, no, no.
It really ought to be a civic morality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're having this goofy debate with them trying to impeach our president. They say it's a moral this or moral that. Dude, if you want to get morality, you get people out getting effective and productive. Let's start doing that for a change.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And it's a mindset that a large portion of our society doesn't seem to agree with.
No.
Or they don't. And policymakers and lawmakers don't seem to believe in that.
I'm going
to
because. Oh, go ahead.
Otherwise, you would see policies that reflect that sentiment.
Yes.
And you don't. And you have people wondering, how did we get here? Why is it so bad? You really can look back at the policy decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about land use laws. How expensive is it to build housing? People who are builders are not evil and greedy. They have to support their own families.
Mm-hmm.
It's more cost effective for them to build higher end houses because mm-hmm. they get a return on their investment.
That's right.
So you have to look at all of these pieces that go into it, and many of them are policy.
Yeah.
Once you understand that and really look at it, you can really see the roadmap of how we got here.
You really can.
But I like plans and like what you're talking about. So we are going to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about HopeCrest.
Okay.
I want to talk about what you're doing. I think it's wonderful what you're doing. So we'll be back on the other side of the hour of the break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Woohoo! Wednesdays.
Did you get those rocks out of your head?
No, it'll take me at least a couple of weeks.
You need to keep it down. Every time you shake your head, I can hear them in there
right?
rattling
just
around.
Rattling around in there.
Oh, it's just annoying.
It's a cool little store, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I heard something about a fossil. I forget.
He's got all kinds of stuff there. Last minute gifts. You're looking for them. Unique, for sure.
I have my son who just recently got married. When he was little, he was a rock hound. It was all about rocks and fossils. And he would have loved that as a kid. He would have loved that.
My brother and I used to go up to this little rock quarry at the top of the hill by our house.
Yeah.
We were looking for those thunder eggs.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We did find a couple up there.
Is that the Oregon State egg?
The
or
thunder
rock,
egg?
Rather. Egg. Yeah. Do we have a state egg?
Nice.
Probably. Anyway, well, Dave, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
If you've been listening, we've been talking with the wonderful Faye DeMeyer. We've been talking about homelessness, possible solutions. And Faye, before we took our midway break, we started talking about your project, Hope Crest, what that, you know, the potential to transform lives, to actually potentially solve some problems for some people.
Right. We wanted to ask why the policies stay the same real quick before you move on to Hope Crest. And I really believe the policies stay the same because people get rich on the policies staying the same.
Okay, now that's going to be a controversial statement. There are going to be some people that are, how dare you?
If your budget increases because people are laying houseless and they're addicted and they're mentally ill and your budget increases and then you don't do anything to change it and then your budget increases. I'm a social scientist, but any scientist with half a brain knows that the evidence is where you go. So that just the why is because pocketbooks get rich.
Right. And it's a lot of nonprofits. So
yeah.
I'm not going to name names, but
it'll go over like a fart in church. Yeah, I know it will.
But, you know, you have to wonder because the problems don't seem to be getting any better. Lots and lots of money keeps getting thrown at this. Lots and lots of lips and gums are flapping about this, but you don't see anything getting better.
Because there's no standard.
Right. So, and then you've got people that are, you know, there needs to be that carrot and the stick.
Amen.
I mean, there have to be consequences. Mm-hmm. These are adults.
That's right.
Children are something different. And we talked about,
Amen.
You know, looking at people who are choosing homelessness.
Bruce.
And I think many would argue that that's most.
Most.
Mm-hmm. Then there are ones who are truly homeless and desperate need, and they do avail
or
themselves.
Or about to be homeless.
Right.
And we need to help them.
That's
the
another.
The ones who are working and about to be homeless, that is who we should help.
And we don't talk about those individuals. And we talk about how housing is going up, and we can, you know, another show we can go into the whys, because there are whys, and we know why.
Yeah.
We know why. But where is the outreach for people that are just on the cusp to pull them back from that abyss and to get them stabilized and to help them out? I don't ever hear about that group.
Yeah. And that group should be paid attention to way more than the people who we're trying to force into help.
Well, and I the city of Salem and everything trying to do, you know, I think it was the 500, the 100 hardest to house. And I remember asking the mayor, what about the people we just spoke about, keeping them from adding to that number and helping them and having concerted effort and resources available there? And I don't really hear much
about
that.
Was there a response?
I don't recall, to be honest with
you. No, for 500.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, Hope Crest, let me tell you, I met with a gentleman who began to talk about buildings here in town that are currently being upkept with heat and lights. And the yard's being upkept. The state of Oregon owns it. It was built in 1913. It's as solid as North Salem High and South Salem High. So if you tear it down, you better tear those two down because that's the same years and the same period.
Okay. All right.
So that's a given. I've been out there. I've been on three tours of it. And I'm telling you right now, it will house folks. People say, well, you have to abate asbestos. No, you don't.
No.
You do not unless you're tearing it down.
Exactly. You leave it in place. It's encapsulated.
It in
place. It's
That's
open.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. So we got that taken care of. They're going, well, there's mold. Well, in the basement, in the tunnel, which no one's going to live in the tunnel, there is mold. But there are also ways to paint over and to remediate. I actually got a waterproofing agency that's willing to help us with that. It's already being done.
Yeah.
So what people don't understand is when you have the will to actually do something, stuff gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have the paperwork and the red tape of what we're facing right now, I've been literally putting letters of intent in since the beginning of November. Here we are almost at January, and I don't have jack, and the price is going up. Come on. You couldn't sell it. Okay, I'm going to throw you an inside scoop. Nobody knows it, but KYKN, 1430 right now.
All right.
McMiniman's tried to buy that building.
Really?
Yeah. Guess what? City of Salem said no. That would have been millions in tax dollars. And people who give a flying care about people who are houseless and would not take tax dollars from a very well established restaurateur who would have housing and everything. That would make a killer, you know, former institution killer place to do something like that. They turned them down. They turned McMinimums down. Oh, that's not it. North Block, where the state hospital is, they turned down four colleges to have satellite campuses before. Four colleges. This is all evidentiary.
Wow.
Okay. They tore down Fairview, which had 900,000 square feet, and basically one building could have fed 3,500 people in it. This place has a cafeteria, a full kitchen. It has a library. It has a gymnasium, all those showers. It has in every unit, in every dorm, it has tons of showers, tons of bedding, tons of everything that people would need, a bedding, places for beds.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It is literally a city in a city. Now, tell me, is it more humane to let your neighbor sleep on the wet, moldy, poop and pee infested grass in a park or in a bunk with a nice brand new mattress, new sheets, a dresser to put their things in, come and go, have an address to work out from, or to have your case manager come and visit you there, your PO visit you there, your mental health worker visit you there, all the needed services right there. So, social service provider, would you rather run around like a chicken with your head chopped off trying to find people or know where they're at? They're at Hope Crest.
So what's the pushback you're getting? I mean, what you're explaining to me, I don't see any downside in that.
Well, the first pushback is about a $4.1 million bill. So I have a letter of intent right now for $3.1 million, okay? The state should be giving it to the citizens who paid the taxes. I'm one of them. And everybody who's going to be working there is one of them. And if we can get all these homeless people back into taxpayer, we'll be self-sufficient. I plan enterprises on this campus. We could have we have 8 bays for garage to have cars to be repaired. We could do
skills training,
yes. Lube, you know, do lubes, do, you know, all kinds of tune-up stuff. There's another place to do hairdressing. Have the hairdressers in Salem come teach them that. Have one of the schools come in. Chemeketa.
C-Tech.
Have Corbin's already agreed to come and do ABE, GED. I'm not talking about something we haven't thought big about, people. It's not just a building to throw people. I'm talking about a life for a change.
You're not warehousing people to keep them out of sight, out of mind. This is actually to lift people up.
Get out and stay out of poverty, people.
So that reduces the number on the street. So then we're talking about nonprofits, perhaps. I mean, so then that's an interesting dynamic.
But bring your nonprofit
to partner with you.
Caring, and I'm in quotes right now, if you can't see me, quotes. Use your caring to come over and help at Hope Crest. Churches have already said we'll feed them over there. We at least can be indoors when we're feeding them, looking them in the face, building relationship with them. Right now, you don't have a relationship with someone shooting up heroin.
No.
Okay, I have a 6-minute video on my phone. I'm talking to a guy. He says to me, oh, well, yeah, they give us clean needles so we can use our drugs in our tent and not get diseases. I'm like, you're already getting diseases. You're shooting up heroin, methamphetamines, and cooking pot in a little bowl, in a little hot thing, and shooting it in their arms. It's called an M&M. Don't tell me you think you're helping out their social service person. I'm talking to people on the streets. I'm talking to them about what they're really doing. Okay, so this is not a joke to me. I don't need another thing to do. I have 3 jobs. I don't need it. I'm actually working for a living. Some guy walks up to me recently and he says, wanted money. And I go, do you have health insurance? And he says, yeah. And I go, not me. I got to go work for mine. I'm not giving you a dollar to buy whatever the hell you want when you will not even go out and work. Shut up, sir. I'm sorry. I'm just over it.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break. I can tell you're very passionate about this. It comes through loud and clear.
I am
as well. I want to, when we'll take our last break and close out the hour, I want to get some more information on Hope Crest, what we can talk about. So we're going to take that break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, everybody, to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We are wrapping up an hour that went by way too fast.
It always does.
Never enough time. We're talking to Faye DeMeyer. Faye, before we have to say goodbye, this is very, very hopeful. This is, to me, a solid concrete business plan.
It is. It is a business. In fact, we presented a business plan. Yeah. We actually have a funder who says to me, if by this date, and the date is January, sometime in January, mm-hmm. early January, mm-hmm. but I have a meeting planned. If I can get 10 people of influence at this meeting that would be willing to say, I support Hope Crest. Mm-hmm. I support everything that she's been talking about, mm-hmm. she and her team. Mm-hmm. We have Hope Crest Foundation. We're going to be underneath the 501c3 of We Are the Solution. It's going to be the programmatic part of that.
Okay.
We Are the Solution. It's been established for about a year, a little over a year now. And so we have a 501c3, so you can donate and it'll be tax deductible. But this man is willing to fund a $3.1 million if I bring 10 people to the table.
10
people. That's all. 10 people at a table and say, you know what? Not only do I believe in this, I'm going to put my name down on this and say, I believe in this. I'm going to be in writing, be a live person. And so if you want to be one of those people, you can go on Faye DeMeyer and private message me, or you can call 503-339-5225, or you can, those are the main two ways right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll link those up in show notes as well. So I'm thinking 10 people shouldn't be a heavy lift. Salem has a history, a recent history. It's changed.
Mm-hmm. It has.
Of being very collaborative.
I think so,
and
too.
And bringing you know, people of influence, people who care, bringing them to the table and really getting some great things done. I know Brent went down a list last week prior to the majority that we have on the council, and I really think there's a fine, bright line of when things started to change.
Mm-hmm.
Of what this city, when it puts its mind to it, its people get together and they have a heart for this and they really want to solve problems, the wonderful, amazing things that the city of Salem can do.
I think so. I'm going to name
some names of problem
solvers that I want at this table. Yeah. I want Larry Tekarski there.
Okay.
I want Dave Glennie there. I want Doug Doty there. I want Gladys Bloom there. I want Gail Calderazzo there. I want TJ Sullivan there. I want Spencer Powell there. I want Chris Panetta there. I mean, I can just go through the list over there. I want Brad Nanke there. I want all the city councilors who actually believe in change, mm-hmm. and want this to happen. I want them there. I want people there who can make a difference. I want my senators there. I want my House representatives. I want Bill Post there. I want Kim Thatcher there. I want Denise Boyles there. I want Raquel Green there. I'm just telling you, these are just a few of the people, mm-hmm. that I want there. Mm-hmm. You guys are no stranger to change. I want the Can-Do group, the entire downtown Can-Do group. I want the corporate coffee group, the people who meet and think about how Salem can be better. I want our billboard to instead read that we don't care about our homeless, we don't know what to do with them. I want it to read, this is a city of peace, because we've not only loved our homeless, we've taken care of them, and now they're making themselves citizens. That's what I want our billboards to read. I want Salem to be the city that people want to go to. If you think you're going to get a freaking airline to come in here with what's been happening, it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to want to circle downtown. So come on, people. Let's pick up the ball and let's run with it. Hope Crest is viable and people will go if you stop feeding them like animals downtown.
I think that for people listening to, and people who just drive by and see this, we talked at the beginning of the show, you know, I was going up in Olympia, Hunter was in Seattle, we've all driven by and we see how bad it can get. We see the, mm-hmm. news stories coming out. We don't want that for our citizens of Salem. We don't want that for the homeless population, mm-hmm. of Salem. We want better for all of us.
That's right. I also want Mike Burdun there. I'm just trying to think of the different ones. Michael Powell there. Lowell, who runs the, brings the Christian bands in. I want Lowell to come down. I mean, there's just a ton of people.
That, you know, you talk about the Christian bands and the church community, the church
every
community
pastor
that's downtown.
In Salem, I want there.
One of the things that drives me crazy is you'll have this group of people who excoriate the church and say how horrible they,
right.
are, and then turn right around and go, why aren't the churches doing anything?
I know.
When the churches are actually out there really literally on the front line. lines. They literally doing things every day.
And they said they would feed at Hope Crest, and I love that. So Bethesda Outward, the Recovery Church right down on Front Street, Connection Life, West Salem Foursquare, First Baptist Church, been heavily affected by this move. They've been fantastic. Just
Salem
so
Alliance
you know.
Downtown, Salem the Broadway Alliance, Commons, absolutely. They deal with that.
I want people from the free clinic to come there. Mm-hmm. I want them to have a site right on free clinic, right at Hope Crest. Would that be epic?
Yes.
Nobody's having to run people back and forth. I want the city of Chariots. I want the Chariot buses down there. Who else? Somebody from the school district. Christy, superintendent, bring yourself there January 9th, First Baptist Church, 5:30. Okay. I want people of influence there.
And that's what it's going to take because we can, we like I said, we have shown we can do great things when everybody gets together.
Yeah. Judge Pellegrini, come on. I know you care about
this. List keeps growing.
It's huge. It's huge. These are influential
yes,
people.
Yes, they are.
And I want Daniel Bethel. I want Kathy Clark. I want Chuck Bennett. I mean, it gets crazy. I want Jim Lewis. Thank you. It all went crazy for a minute. And Kristen Rutherford. She's very key in downtown.
Yes, very.
All of them there.
Neighborhood associations as well.
Yes.
Because and that, I think, you know, when we were talking about the parks and then it's going into neighborhoods, this affects everybody. It's not just the downtown core. This affects everybody. We need to be looking at rational, sober-minded ways to deal with this.
That's
and
right.
I think what you're putting on the table, like I said, when I saw you testify, I messaged you after that, thanking you for that, because a lot of it seemed a very clear vision that you have. And I think that's what we're lacking in many respects. I think a lot of people don't know what to do and you need to direct people's passion, their anger in many cases. I mean, we talked about contempt. We want to stop that in its tracks. We don't want to go down that road, those four horsemen.
That's right.
We don't want to do that of an irreparable relationship that we can't fix.
Amen.
Because there's no coming back from that.
And all of you I mentioned are friends, including the houseless. They are friends. Mm-hmm. Let's start working together as community, as neighbors, as friends. We can do this. We're not mad. We're just frustrated that people won't listen to sound reason.
Right. And you just keep seeing things sort of spinning and spiraling out of control.
Absolutely.
And we want to stop that. And I think that I love what you're doing. I have a lot of respect for what you're doing. So we're going to link up contact information. Is there a website or?
Right now we are going with Professional Freedom Development.
Okay.
Which is consultingsalemoregon.com. If you go on that website, that's my website for my overarching business.
Okay. We're going to have heavy duty wicked show notes for this episode.
Yeah, we are.
So I'm going to get that from you before we close. Well, Faye, I want to thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Denise.
Yeah. Really my pleasure to talk to you about this. We ran into each other at a luncheon and I think it was very serendipitous that we did.
I do too. I want to thank KYKN 1430. This is where I got my start in radio. And I just want to thank Mike Frith and the folks here at the station, because this is good stuff.
I got my start on your show.
I know. I love
wow.
you.
So
and
it's kind of old home week. Faye and I have known each other for years.
That's good stuff.
Love you very much.
You
and
too.
And really, really love what you're doing. So, Dave, I mean, there's a lot to digest here. I know we probably talked a little fast trying to get it all in, and I apologize for that, but 1 hour goes by way too fast. So we will link that up. Yeah, you had something else real quick?
Well, there's just as you're thinking about this Christmas, there are still a lot of opportunities to help. I work with Connection 365 and we work with therapeutic foster children, and 80% of foster kids go into homelessness. So my other job is helping people not get there, and I'm a foster parent as well. So I love it. And I just wanted to mention Connection 365. If you have any desire to year-end giving, please focus to 365. It's a great stopgap for this homelessness.
We want to try to prevent that.
That's
if we
right.
can, at
That's
all
right.
costs. All right.
Nice.
Thank you, Faye.
Thank you, Faye.
Thank you, Faye. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas
Happy New Year.
Yes.
I don't see
Merry
you before
Christmas,
then.
This
is
our,
this is my last show, and I will see everybody back in, I'll see you next year.
Oh, my goodness.
I went
goodness.
There. I had to throw a dad joke in.
Well, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, and we will see you again in the new year.
In the new year.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.